BBC Radio Berkshire. Let's talk about tiny houses then, because with property prices going through the roof in this area, there's very little hope for first-time buyers of actually getting onto the property ladder. So maybe this is where the tiny house movement could help. This is something that's really big in America, and slowly it's cottoning on here in the UK as well. Closer to home, there's actually a man who builds the things for people in Berkshire, amongst other counties. So what are tiny houses? Let's find out from the man who makes them, Mark Burton from Tiny House UK. What is a tiny house then, Mark, first of all?
Good morning. Well, it's basically a very compact property. I mean, it could be 2 metres wide by 5 metres long, which doesn't sound very large. It's probably about the size of a decent-sized bedroom. If you can imagine in a normal bedroom, you've got a double bed, which takes up most of the area. In that area, you've then got to also include a shower room, a composting toilet, a kitchen, a dining area, a lounge area, and the double bed as well. So the way they're built is very compact and clever use of space, basically.
It sounds like a very intricate game of Jenga, but as far as building is concerned and interior design. How does it work then? So if you buy one of these tiny houses, because I know that some are static and some come on wheels. I mean, where can you put these things? How does it work?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, they're very big in the States, and I think the laws over there are very different to over here. I mean, we're a very small country in comparison, and every square metre of land is allocated for in one way or another. So it's not really a case of being able to do what they do in the American dream, is to buy a plot of land and effectively get a building permit and park one on and start living next to a nice stream with mountains in the background. It's just not the same over here. So the problem there is, where do you put them and where can you live in them? Currently, I suppose the only area realistically would be extra accommodation in parents' gardens, for instance.
There's other
applications. I mean, farmers are looking at these as a good idea. I mean, as you probably know, they've had a real rough ride over the couple of decades with weather conditions and all sorts of diseases, Dutch elm and BSE and everything you can think of. So it really hits their profits, and they're now looking at the amount of land that they have and sacrificing an acre or two and putting some tiny houses on there and renting them out, which is where the glamping industry is now starting to boom.
And also, presumably, you can use them as a kind of holiday accommodation, I guess, can't you? I suppose if some of these things come on wheels, then they're basically caravans in a way, aren't they?
They are. I do get quite a few calls, and I think people get the wrong end of the stick a little bit. Love the idea of the tiny houses, and they're mobile and they have everything that look fantastic. I want to, hook it up to the back of my car and go around Europe. Around Europe with it. Well, it's, stop there. It's not quite as easy as that. It's, they are very heavy. They can get from A to B. You can move them. But they're not touring caravans. They're probably about 3 times the weight of a normal caravan on the road. So it's not quite as straightforward as people actually think.
And you live in one yourself, is that right?
I do currently, yeah. I mean, the best thing, if you're building these things, you've got to try it out yourself, haven't you, really? So I've been here for just over a year. Probably going to be, moving on shortly. It's living in it, you really get used to the actual space and think, wow, this is a lot different from a 5-bedroom house. You really have to scale down on everything, and everything has to have a double use. For instance, the ladder system with the sort of elongated steps, if you like, that go back to the wall, and that space is then used for storage space for clothes, so effectively a chest of drawers without a door on it. So everything is, double usage to try and get everything you need into one space and still be able to move around reasonably freely.
So what does it look like? I mean, give us a kind of your best estate agent's patter then, so that you can build up a bit of a mental picture for us. From the outside, what do these tiny houses look like?
I think the word that has been described to me for the designs that I do over here in the UK, which are a bit different from the States. The ones in the States, a lot of them have tin roofs, which I'm not a particular fan of. We tend to use you know, local timbers and local materials and so on. So the word comes to mind is Hansel and Gretel, and it sort of looks a little bit cute and cottagey, with exposed beams inside and very cottagey-like and quite an old-looking building, although it is sort of brand new.
And I know you gave us a little bit of an insight into what you can fit into that tiny space, but just remind us, so you've got a double bed in there, have you?
Well, as I'm standing in one now, so effectively I can give you a blind walk around if you
like. Yeah, go on, do it, yeah.
Walked in the front door, so if I stretch my arms out, I can pretty much touch the walls each side. I've got a sort of a sofa area to my right, which is basically a bench with shelf boxes underneath, so they slide out for storage, and also there's your little table to put your breakfast on. So the left hand side, I've got a little desk with all my paperwork all over it, which is obviously, you know, being self-employed, this is effectively my office as well. Then to the right, just to the behind the head of the sofa, if you'd like, there's a little door, and inside you have a shower cubicle and a composting toilet, which is about 700 millimetres wide, which is a normal shower cubicle, you know, a sort of a box cubicle. And then the same size box, I suppose, would be the area for the actual toilet. Above that, obviously it's got a ceiling, is the bed area. So this is sort of launched up above the middle of the cabin. So from the lounge bit, I'm looking up, I can see the ceiling right up top, sort of 3 metres up. And then underneath the bed to the left-hand side is another little desk, you know, for sort of doing bits and pieces on the computer or whatever. And at the back of that, you've got the ladder with the shelving with most of my clothes on it. And to the side of that, some hanging rails with shirts and jackets. And on the back wall, I've got a mini kitchen with a microwave, small fridge, freezer, hot plate, sink, an oven-y type of grill next to it, and then storage units up on the wall for all my food and bits and pieces in there.
And just roughly, how much might you expect to pay for something like this?
Fully built on a chassis, probably 25,000 to 30,000 plus VAT.
Right.
The static ones are a lot easier to build. You don't have to have them on the chassis. So effectively, they're about three times the size. And for more or less the same money, just because it's not having to be built in a certain way with pressures and you know, moving about and that sort of thing, and the weight as well, so you know, to bog you down. So you know, it's done in a slightly different way, but more or less the same design. I think people saw the ones on wheels and said absolutely love the idea and the look of them and the way they are and the clever use of space. But A, we don't really want them on wheels because it's going to go in the garden. And B, can we have them bigger? So under permitted development in normal rules, you're allowed to go up to a certain size and a certain height, as long as you are a certain distance from the boundary of your garden. So everyone's allowed to build one. The question mark there is what it's actually being used for. So it can be used for an office, but you can't rent it out as a complete self-contained dwelling, i.e. number 27B, the cottage down the back of the garden.
Yes, yeah, so it's a slightly different set of circumstances, I suppose, to the US, isn't it, in many ways. Mark, I've got to move on. Thank you so much for that. That's Mark Burton, who makes these tiny houses, not necessarily going to provide the answer to the high property prices in this area and lack of available stock for first-time buyers, but either way, a fascinating idea.
BBC Radio Berkshire. Travel you trust, as it happens.